Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the podcast where things aren't particularly interesting, but they're not boring. They're just interesting enough. And with me, as always, is Alex and Robin. Gentlemen, how are you? We've had a week off, but we haven't had a break.
Yep.
But we won't disclose too much as what we've been doing. But how are you both?
I'm well.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Another week.
How are you, Martin? Yeah, oh, my gosh.
My goodness. I've just thought of this, but Robot Rishi, did you see the announcement? His first speech to the public?
No, I didn't bother.
It was a bit
weird.
Oh, was
it's
it?
Very odd. He's kind of looking off camera, but he's talking to the public.
Okay.
He's looking off camera, and there's a bit at the end where he stops and he's finished what he's going to say. And it's like, it's almost like the teleprompter's still rising because he just stood there. And then he walks up, and it's just there's like about 5 seconds where he just stood there. It's brilliant. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get on to what we're talking about this week. And as the title will suggest, if you're watching this on YouTube live as one of our live viewers, we will be talking about the Clearwater Monster, which is one that I don't think any of us had really come across much until a few weeks ago.
It's nice.
So we thought we'd jump into it.
It's nice talking about like a monster mystery. Firstly, this close to Halloween, one of the best times of the year, but also, one that haven't really discussed before. So I'm looking forward to getting into this one.
This is new to me when you suggested it. And like I say, appropriate to the Halloween spooky season.
Indeed. And if you're not watching this live, then you might be listening to it on a podcast platform of your choice. Of course, we're on all of the main ones, Spotify, Apple Podcast, etc. And if you're listening on there, then why not see our faces? I'm not going to say they're beautiful, but they are our faces. So you can catch us every Monday at 9 p.m. British time, which you can calculate in your own time zone. I think it's about 3 p.m. It's probably going to change like next week. I think the plot's
almost certainly going to be. It's always October, anyway. And we're coming to the end of October, right? So it's got to be soon.
Exactly. So before we jump into the main topic, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to our Patreon supporters. You can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/justinteresting, where we do various other bits and pieces, including a little more interesting, where we discuss other things that we couldn't quite fit into the main podcast. And we'll also have some special bits and pieces coming up soon from the mystery adventures that we've been going on recently.
I know.
But more of that to come. And if you're a Patreon supporter, you'll find out more about that sooner than other people. Quite frankly, that's just a perk. And so before we jump into the Clearwater Monster, let's discuss what we've learned this week. Alex,
Martin,
you can go first.
Before we jump into what we've learned this week, I need my brain to be teased. Do we have a riddle of some sort?
Fine. If you really want a riddle, I can give you a riddle. Okay?
Okay. If you've got one.
You want a riddle? You want a riddle? I'll give you a riddle.
If you want a riddle, I'll give you a riddle.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this one. What falls but does not break, and what breaks but does not fall? What falls but does not break, and what breaks but does not fall?
Wind?
Feel free to answer in the comments section if you're watching along.
Yeah, watch goes live.
That one's got me. I haven't.
That's actually quite nicely poetic as well. Something whatever the term for like the reverse, the thing that reverses itself. You flipped it, Martin, and it's tricky.
He's done something now, hasn't he? Yeah, he's flipped it. He's flipped it back on itself. Nice.
Have a think, and we'll come back to it.
Make sure you'll let us know the answer at the end of the episode, because sometimes we do
I
forget.
Might let you know. If you're listening to this later, you might need to just check the comment section after the episode, but we'll try and remember. Okay, so Alex,
hello,
where were we? What have you learned this week?
So this week we had there was a little ladybug on my desk. And it suddenly jogged my memory, and I was thinking, is it actually true, the spots on a ladybug's back? Does it determine its age? Did you both hear of this?
Oh, I have a vague recollection of that from primary school. Yeah.
How old a ladybug is based on how many spots are on its back. And I Googled this, and I wanted to find out if it was actually true. And rather unsurprisingly, it is false. So this is more of a debunking thing I've learned this week. The spots on the ladybug's back determine what kind of species of ladybug it is, rather than its age. And also they warn off predators. I guess predators see them and they think, oh, I'm not eating that. That looks awful.
It must be poisonous.
Looks like it's going to kill me. It's a common misconception that spots represent their age. And the truth is ladybugs live for just about a year. So it doesn't really matter how many spots they have. That's kind of their age. And some ladybugs don't have spots at all. Some have stripes. Others have no spots. And some, like the Asian lady beetle, have spots that can range from 0 to 22. So, yeah, that's what I learned this week. There is no real way of determining a ladybug's age, despite what you might have been told on the playground.
So don't count
them. It's got a walking stick on it.
Don't count them. Absolutely pointless. Move on with your life.
Is it one of those things that's I don't know if this is even true for humans, but like, you know, over time, humans develop like freckles and moles, right? Because just naturally you have exposure to sun. Did we extrapolate that to ladybirds and thought, they just gain more spots as they get exposed to X, Y, and Z? Knocked off something off the table.
Maybe, but it also sounds like just the kind of thing that anyone who doesn't know anything makes up on the spot. You know, you've got children, Martin. I hope we can reveal that on the podcast. Whoops.
Go for it.
Yeah. Surely you've had moments where they've asked you a question and you're like, I've got to give them something just to shut them up. Yeah. Yeah. It's how you tell their age. It's how you tell their age.
Yeah. You're right. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
I want to call out Swifto in the chat who says you have to cut them in half and count the rings to know for sure. say Swifto, get out. No. no, but that was quite amusing. That's obviously referencing tree's age, which I do believe is accurate, isn't it? The counting the rings of a tree trunk if you cut it in half.
Yeah, although there is a kink to that as well, isn't there? It's like it's not quite as simple as some trees. It's like there's something more to it. Like different species have grow rings at different rates, which I remember, I think it was a documentary I saw many years ago where they said this, because you get some big trees and they cut it down. This big tree is only got 30 rings, but we know that it was planted in 1700. What's about that then? And they say, well, then clearly they grow rings at different rates. And then my brain immediately went into kind of like, so all these centuries, people have been cutting down trees and they've just been wrong. They just don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just don't know.
Imagine if you see an amazing old majestic tree that looks like it's been there for thousands of years, and your instinct is, well, I want to know specifically its age, so I'm gonna chop
cut
that
it down.
Boy down.
Cut it.
Yeah. I think the English Heritage Society might have something to say.
That's what I learned this week. What have you both learned this week?
Yeah, what have you learned, Martin?
What have I learned? I've learned actually about the origins of the unicorn. Unicorns are popular these days amongst kids.
Yeah, but
and the Scottish population.
Well, hold on.
They're not real, Martin. They're not real.
Oh, I know they're not real. I know this, but you tell the kids they're real, a bit like Father Christmas, right? there's a big resurgence. I'd say in the last 10 years, with kids just loving unicorns, it's a big thing, they're plastered over every lunchbox. I didn't know much about them. I was like, where's the unicorn come from?
Yeah.
So, of course, it's a mythological animal.
Yeah.
Representing a horse with a horn on its head.
It's the least imaginative mythological animal, isn't it? It's just a horse with a horn.
Yes, exactly. And it appeared in early Mesopotamian artworks and was referred to in the myths of ancient India and China. And so when we look at it in literature, historian Theseus basically related that the Indian wild ass was the size of a horse with a white body, a purple head, and blue eyes, and had a horn on its forehead with a pointed tip. And he's quite descriptive about it, actually. It's black in the middle and white at the base. So this is a very, 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 very precise description of what a unicorn is. And he was basically describing roughly what at the time an Indian rhinoceros looked like.
Oh.
So that is potentially where a unicorn originally came from, was from the Indian rhinoceros.
Right.
So he looked at a rhino and thought it looked like a horse. He was like, that's a horse.
Well, I think he must have been a little bit confused. It is a little bit confusing as to why he looked at it and gave this really quite vivid description. But that's what he thought it was.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but you've seen pictures from those old medieval bestiaries, you know, produced in, for example, England in the 14th century, and they're artists who've never been outside their town drawing a picture based on the description, which is a translation of a book from Middle Europe, which is a traveler from Egypt telling them what a lion looks like. Mm. And then the drawing that you get through Chinese whispers is just like, why does it have two heads and eight legs? What's going on here? So I can imagine how, yeah, the Chinese whispers effect can change what a rhinoceros actually looks like.
So how, if that's where it came from, how did it end up being the national animal of Scotland?
You tell us, you're now a Scottish native. Yeah. Alex.
I need to look that up, really. Yeah.
Well, it was just a heraldic symbol adopted. Most heraldic symbols, I think, are just plucked out of thin air, aren't they? Somebody needs to make some kind of symbol for their family. So they just pick a symbol. And then the Stuarts, I want to say, I can't remember. One of the royal... So we have a dragon on the... the Tudor crest has a dragon because the Tudor's from Wales. So they had the Welsh dragon. But then after them, we got the unicorn, I think, to replace the dragon because of the union with Scotland. One of the Scottish royal families had the unicorn on their family crest. And so I can't remember why they had a unicorn.
They would have been a massive fan of the current paper chase line. they're just mad on unicorns at the moment.
Like you said. Yeah. Slap them on everything.
Yeah. My niece, shout out to her. She loves unicorns, loves them. Or at least she did. Yeah.
It's unicorns and Frozen. Yeah, big thing for kids. Love the imaginary stuff.
They do. They love fantasy. Woe betide them when they reach reality. Sorry, children, enjoy it while it lasts.
Well, I wonder if science will ever make a unicorn. Like, I mean, I feel like it's a very doable thing.
If they can reverse engineer a chicken into a dinosaur, then they can probably make a unicorn, surely.
If they can bring mammoths back, yeah, for sure, then come on, make a unicorn.
I'm going to take DNA from a narwhal and combine it with this pony. Oh my God, what have you created? It's got flippers for legs.
And no horn at all.
It's a monster. Beautiful.
Lovely.
Thank you for that, Alex.
No, thank you, Martin. I never knew like where they came from. I thought
that was really fascinating. Yeah.
I'd heard there might have been some connection with like a rhino mistaking it, but I didn't know specifically where it came from and the history, like the original writings of describing a unicorn is really interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Robin. Yes. What to you, sir?
I feel like I should have gone first because my fact is nowhere near as interesting as the two that you've just come up with.
Two animal facts this week.
Yeah. Mine's not an animal fact, sadly, but it's related to fruit. It's still kind of connected to the natural world. And okay. I was watching... Oh, okay. Well, I'll just go home then. Well, I already am home. Bye, fellas. Just go to bed.
We'll take it from
now. I was watching the film Steve Jobs at the weekend. Excellent film, by the way, with Michael Fassbender as the titular tyrant. And I had a thought, why is it called the Apple Macintosh? And later, you know, the iMac. Why is it called that? And it turns out it's called the Apple Macintosh because Jeff Raskin, I think was his name, who invented the Macintosh computer, his favorite variety of Apple was the Macintosh.
I didn't even know that was a variety of Apple.
It doesn't grow in the UK.
I thought it was an item of clothing, like a type of coat, isn't it?
A type of coat. I wondered if they were just fans of the coat. Yeah, but no, apparently it's because he was being clever. I was like, our company is called Apple, and my favorite Apple is the Macintosh. Let's call it the Macintosh. So, yeah.
It's a bit weird to call it Apple Macintosh. It's like, it's kind of called Apple. Why would you call it Apple Golden Delicious or Apple Granny Smith? It just sounds weird, doesn't it?
It's funny how it kind of rolls off the tongue now, but at the time, I wonder if people have the same reaction.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think you could get away with? Gala? Apple Gala?
Apple Gala, yeah.
Well, that's a good word,
Apple Jazz.
Yeah, that's a good
like
one.
A car, though. Honda Jazz, the Honda Apple Jazz.
Apple Braeburn doesn't really work, does it?
Apple Braeburn.
Oh, I could see that, actually. I think that's all right. Apple Pink.
Apple Granny Smith. think Lady.
I think Granny Smith would be the best. the new Apple Granny Smith.
This is targeted at the elderly retired audience. Yeah,
64 gig of RAM. Apple Granny Smith.
Nice.
But apparently, and this is the only, this is possibly the interesting part of the fact, they didn't actually own the license to the name Macintosh at the time, because an audio equipment manufacturer already had the name Macintosh. So they had to buy the license to use the name Macintosh from this audio company, and then buy the trademark later in 1986, which is 2 years after the computer came out.
Wow. That have led them to some serious trouble? Potentially.
Yeah, potentially. It seems odd. They must have really liked that name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And had the confidence to believe that they could easily purchase it.
Well, Steve Jobs was not lacking for confidence, was he?
Do you think it's weird that they call it, this is completely different, but do you think it's weird that they call that film Steve Jobs? But every film now is just called Jobs.
It's kind of weird, isn't it? Because
they didn't call it Jobs. They should have called it just Jobs.
Well, there was already the film called Jobs, wasn't there?
Yeah, but there was already the Macintosh. Take it over.
Normally,
just blaze your way through like Paul Rose.
But normally with those kind of biopics, it's like The Social Network, The Founder, and then,
The Steve Jobs.
The Steve Jobs, yeah.
The Steve Jobs.
Yeah, Winston, it was called Darkest Hour, not Winston Churchill. Young Winston in the 70s, not just Winston Churchill. Chaplin was just called Chaplin. True. Yeah, I guess, yeah, they'd already done the Is His Surname film with, what's his name? Ashton Kutcher, yeah. They'd taken that name, so they had to be, how do we differentiate our movie from that one? True. Just add Steve.
Add his first name, yeah.
Fair play.
I do like
Mr. Jobs. They should have called it Mr. Jobs.
I do like the thought that knowing how stubborn he was, that at some point, like the people he was working with was just like, Steve, let's just change the name. It would make this so much simpler. We're not opening ourselves up to lawsuits. Yeah. And he was like, if you change the name from Macintosh, I will fucking kill you.
So intense. I will end you.
Oh dear.
R.I.P. But apparently you are a dickhead. Right. On that note, shall we have a look at the dickheads in the comment section and find our favourite comments from our favourite dickheads in the comment section? Gentlemen,
do you have
comments to provide for this podcast?
I do indeed.
I went a bit Rishi Sunak for a second there.
I do indeed. So I wanted to talk about Robin's amazing documentary that he made. And released onto the channel a couple of weeks ago now.
Thank you.
About Dracula, and call out Kurt's comment. Kurt is also one of our YouTube members, so thank you so much for your support, Kurt. But he says, excellent work, Robin. The camera shots and editing was fantastic. Was also good to hear that iconic,
however,
of yours too. And I fully agree. It was good to see that back in action. Couldn't agree more. And just a general encouragement to anyone who hasn't gone over and checked that video out to go and watch it, because it's really good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed making it, and hopefully it will not be the last type of video that we make and upload to this channel. Hint, hint. Ha ha.
I bloody hope not. Fantastic. After last week.
I mean, speaking of which, actually, my comment is from a YouTube short that Martin uploaded very early in the morning, because he was a real trooper and got up super early, as did Alex, to be fair. I didn't, by the way. From Cozy Martian, who commented on this YouTube short titled, the YouTube short was titled Adventure Awaits, but not this early. And it was a very tired looking Martin explaining where he was going that day. And the comment says, is Martin going to sneak into Alex's house and give him the trophy?
do you know what? At this point, I would wish. Yeah, that would be fine. I'd be happy with that.
It will.
However you want.
It doesn't belong to you. The King of Gondor is here. It is me. I won last season.
Martin bows to no man.
At least show it off. That's the point of the trophy.
Well, it may or may not be in a cabinet. You're showing off to whoever.
Is it in the cabinet or the car?
We get visitors. They need to see the trophy. Real life visitors who come from miles away to view the symbolic trophy.
You don't deserve.
Everyone needs to be on display.
I might even let Robin win the quiz today because I feel like I just want someone to have the trophy.
You're just going to mute Martin so we never hear his buzzer.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I've got a comment from Microtech 5871, and this one is from Who Was the Mad Gasser of Mattoon a few weeks ago. Okay, so Microtech says, okay, hear me out. What if the Mad Gasser was just some person that was working on developing an air freshener spray and tested it covertly at night? They failed to get the sweet-smelling fragrance to keep people from vomiting, so they gave up on the endeavor. You know, maybe.
Yeah.
They were just testing an air freshener. Possible.
It's possible.
I mean, to be honest, nothing should be discounted when we don't have enough evidence. And sometimes thinking outside the box is the way to go. So good theory. Good theory.
Very good. Definitely. Very good.
Just going over to the comments on YouTube, the live comments.
Yeah, our live comments.
Skunk Nipples, which is just an incredible name. Wow. So congratulations. Wow. They want to know, how is England feeling right now with all the stuff going on? And I think between the three of us and our diverse background, we can probably surmise the entirety of how our country is feeling. How are you both feeling with, I'm guessing it's about a bit of Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak. We touched on it right at the beginning, but it is a bit of a weird week. Were you expecting Liz Truss to resign when she did?
I don't know. At that point, I think I'd tuned out. I mean, we happened to be doing something. We were busy at the time, weren't we, when it happened. But it was, I think, a day or so before it happened, I had decided not to pay attention and just wait. Like someone lying on a beach as the tide comes in. You just wait until it consumes you. And if you drown, you drown.
What? What? Pretty sure people who lie on a beach when the tides come in move.
Well, Martin, this is what I'm saying.
If only there was something I could do to get myself out of this situation. Robin says as the tide slowly envelops her.
I just cannot be bothered.
But yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, though. I feel like we've all just kind of become a bit numb to it recently. Like it was shocking, but also kind of not. Like it almost seemed inevitable, but I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was not, I think it happened slightly sooner than I expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe by a day or maybe a week too soon. But
what I'm enjoying is seeing people from across the pond reacting to the news. And then they're just people saying, like, is the UK okay at the moment?
Well, no, it's not.
Like, what's going on over there? Like, we've got our own stuff to deal with, but what are they doing?
It's funny because a few years ago, this is what Australia was like, wasn't it? And in as much as the UK did pay attention to Australian politics, they got through like one prime minister every year, it felt like, for several years in a row. And I remember at one point, because my brother-in-law was Australian, I was taking an interest and I looked at it and said to my sister, I was just like, politics in Australia is a bit mad, isn't it? Now it's like, oh my gosh, spoke too soon. They look positively stable compared to us.
I think it was quite surprising how many people came out and backed Boris Johnson for reappearing onto the scene. And I guess quite surprising that he didn't end up running. Well, that seems like he didn't get enough support. But those people, I mean, he's made you look a right tit, to quote the Jay from The Inbetweeners. He's properly has, hasn't he? They've come out publicly in support, backed it up on all social media and said he's the right person for the job. And then he's just gone, I think I'm all right.
Also, I mean, it sounds like he came very, like, within, even if he didn't get the numbers, he came like scarily close to getting back in, possibly.
It depends, because he claimed he had 100, but we only ever had, was it 60 people publicly confirmed that they were supporting him? Yeah, so even
it was 90 that was publicly confirmed.
But was it 90 in the end?
I could be wrong about that.
I'm happy to be too wrong. I wasn't really
insane. Yeah. It should have been zero.
It should have been
the same party that kicked him out 3 months ago.
My theory is with Boris Johnson coming back and cutting his Caribbean holiday short, bless him, sacrifices he makes to come back and join the competition. I think that indicates he was taking it seriously, but in the sense that I think his ego wouldn't let him not try. You know, he had to try. He wanted the possibility of coming back as the all-conquering hero, like, did you miss me? You know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But also, it's just a power. We know that he met with both the other front runners, Rishi Sunak, who is now our prime minister, and Penny Mordaunt, who's the other challenger. And over the weekend. He met with them both. And I'm sure it was just a kind of like, look at me, I'm a threat to your chances of becoming prime minister. Offer me a deal, you know, kind of thing. I bet that's what it was. Mm-hmm. It was just, if he becomes prime minister, he becomes prime minister. So to win for him. And if he doesn't, then he gets offered a juicy cabinet position where he doesn't have to do anything and gets the salary. I bet that was his entire plan.
Maybe, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it seems likely. Yeah.
Anyway, I've dragged us into a discussion on
that. That's all right.
Sorry,
yeah.
Just going to resist.
Before we move on, though, I would like to just a couple of live chat people. Comment. Ethan Walker says, in terms of British politics, a constant barrage of ineptitude and misery.
I love it.
Which is true, yeah. We also have, Ethan Walker then goes on to say something a bit darker. I wish we had a prime minister like that Aussie one that walked out into the ocean and was never seen again. Harold Holt.
Jesus.
Wow.
I mean, no. As relevant as it is to what we were just discussing in my very strange metaphor that I used a moment ago, we don't want to wish that on anybody. Unless, of course, Harold Holt was actually rescued by a Russian submarine and defected or whatever the theory is. But there is, I know there's a couple of people in the chat who definitely
yourself, Robin. You're
British
just
dwellers.
Conspiracies on the fly.
Just can't do it on the fly. I was making it up. And I saw Sam Richards was in the chat. So what does he think? What does he think of the political situation over here? Whilst he responds, I shall retire.
And I'll see you next week. Goodbye. Yes, let's just change slightly from a political to the mysterious. And let's have a look at the main topic of the week. That's nice.
That was lovely.
I'm also not quite sure how long that lasted. So we are definitely back, and let's have a look at the Clearwater Monster. Okay, so the year is 1948, and we're in Clearwater, Florida, which is a town of about 15,000 people at the time.
Okay.
And so one early February morning, a resident out for a walk, or was out for a walk on Clearwater Beach, and discovered what looked like the footprints of a monster. So they ran home to call the police. These tracks looked nothing like anything anyone had ever seen before. They were really large, described as being about 14 inches long and 11 inches wide. And they looked bird-like, apparently, which is interesting.
Yes.
And so, there was mystery over what these were. And so, this gained a lot of interest, of course, in the local media, who picked up that there was a mysterious creature on the loose. And over the next 10 years, the footprints of this Clearwater monster were seen frequently on Clearwater Beach, where the first sighting was, St. Petersburg Beach, the Sunaway River, and Anclote River. So all these different areas around Florida, which I don't know exactly where they are, but I know that they're spread out. Okay, so this monster wasn't just seen in one place. He was seen all over the place, so he was moving.
Yeah.
The monster left tracks, but he was clever. He made the local news, and then he vanished again for a year or two. And so when people had just begun to stop thinking about the monster, then he crept out of the woodwork, or out of the sea, as a reverse Holt, and started making more tracks again on these beaches. And so, with it being well publicized, it attracted the attention of a particular naturalist called Ivan Sanderson, who conducted an investigation into what or who the monster could be. And he came up with this 50-page, what he classed as a technical report, and also summarized this in a later book, actually, that he wrote in 1969, believing that the case was most likely authentic. Mm-hmm. But not 100%, but most likely authentic. And so Sanderson commented that the tracks invariably followed the gentlest gradients, even at the cost of considerable meandering. And secondly, that they meticulously avoided all possible snags and obstacles, even down to the smallest bushes. These are one and all typical animal traits.
So it would take
obviously thought.
Yeah.
It was an animal. Yeah.
But the animal would take the path of least resistance. It would avoid obstacles, like even. Subconsciously almost, like take the the least hilly part of a walk and avoid sticks and bushes and stuff.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. I've seen videos on the internet where you put a whole load of cups down and you get your cat to run through it and it dodges all of the cups.
Oh,
exactly,
okay.
Like that. Yes. That works here. And so what could this what could this monster or this animal be? And so Sanderson, he concluded that it was none other, or probably none other, than a 15-foot tall penguin.
I'm sorry, how is there a 15-foot tall penguin wandering around a Florida beach?
I believe he was being a little bit tongue-in-cheek here. But that's I think he was. It's not actually, it's never really been determined whether he was deadly serious about this or not, because he also thought that there was potential of it possibly being a hoax. But he was saying, from all of the information given, it looks like it would represent something that was really tall and had penguin-like feet because of the prints that were left. They were like three-pronged prints that were left all over the beaches.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know about the timeline of this, Martin, whether it was before or after he published this report, but wasn't there like a fishing boat around the time that said they saw a giant 15-foot penguin floating in the water?
Yeah, so there were supposed sightings, but that's the thing. It's not known whether his conclusions were before or after these different sightings. It could be that he suggested this, came out in the media, and then people, of course, were then on the lookout wanted to put forward the idea that there was this giant penguin. So there were various different sightings at the time. And of course, lots of people did see these tracks in the sand all across Florida.
I'm just picturing this playing out like that iconic scene in Jaws when they're in the classroom and they're discussing, what could it be? Is it a shark that's doing this? What is it walking around? Is it a hoax? And then just you hear the scratching on the chalkboard, and this man turns around and says, have you ever heard of the 15-foot penguin?
Sounds like a Family Guy sketch.
I mean, it's hilarious, and I kind of love the idea of a 15-foot penguin. I want one. I want to go up and cuddle it. But at the same time, penguins, you see footage of penguins in the Arctic, diving and catching fish.
Oh, yeah.
They can go fast, man. And they have sharp beaks. So under the water, that penguin, 15-foot penguin, could easily sink your boat.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. Yeah, you want to avoid that. We should, 15-foot penguin.
How have the people that made films like Mega Piranha and Sharknado and Piranha 3D and all of that, how have they not made a film adaptation of a 15-foot penguin yet? Because that is dynamite. I'd see that film in the cinema 50 times.
Yeah, just slapping everyone out of the way. Boats come along, slap.
I can see the giant slow motion, walking down the high street. Kind of boom,
Godzilla
boom, boom, with some stock CG animation from one of those video sites online.
Ah, beautiful.
And everyone watching is like, the lighting on the penguin doesn't match the lighting on the street. What's going on there?
Exactly. Yeah.
Great visual effects.
Oh, if not, we should make it. In fact, I'm pretty sure
that's what we've just been doing. Yeah, we just had a massive, we made our first movie, people. That's the announcement today. We made a movie about a giant penguin starring Ivan Sanderson? Sanderson. Yeah.
fantastic.
Amazing.
But not everyone was convinced by Sanderson's findings.
And what?
I know, right? And local people, including the police, believed that the whole thing was a hoax. But they had no way to prove it, and no one had ever come forward and admitted being the Clearwater Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's switch tact a little bit. Okay. And let's move on to a man called Tony Signorini. Tony Signorini.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And this man moved to Florida after being in the Air Force and joined the Auto Electric Company in the 1940s. And this is where he met the company owner and, wait for it, local prankster Al Williams.
Okay.
And prankster. Al was seen by, hint, hint. Al was seen by people in the Auto Electric Company, which he owned, as a pretty serious guy, as you would be owning this company. But he did have a mischievous side. And one time, he apparently put a horse in a jail cell in Clearwater to prank the local police. Another time, he and Tony hung a weather balloon outside the fire station and put this electric device in it, which then made it explode and it sounded like a bomb.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so like they, just after World War II, nice one.
This is the original. This is the original just a prank guy. This it was just a prank, bro.
Just a prank. Yeah. Just to clarify, Martin. He put an electronic device in a weather balloon to make it explode and sound like a bomb. He made a bomb. That's what he just said.
We're splitting hairs here, but yeah.
It's just a device that makes it explode. You made a bomb. Like, no. It's made it explode. Crazy.
So he was here. There's a bit of a reputation as being a prankster. The two of them were.
Mm.
And so a little while later, in the 1940s, Al saw an article in Nat Geo, National Geographic, and saw these big old dinosaur feet in the mud. And so he had an idea for a new prank. And so the Clearwater Monster was born. And so what they did, or what Al did primarily, was made a plaster mold of these dinosaur tracks and attached them to his feet. But they were too light. He made a plaster, they were too light, didn't weigh enough. So the imprints that they were making didn't sink into the sand. So nothing was left behind, which of course isn't great. So what they did is they went to a local blacksmith and they poured a whole load of lead into these big molds. And then when it set, each of the tracks on each foot weighed 30 pounds. And what they did is they bolted these. Yeah, I know, right? What they did is they bolted these onto some high-top gym shoes, which sounds like a great idea for breaking your ankles, and then spent 10 years making tracks across Florida and the mystery of a clear... Yeah, I know, 10 years they spent doing this across Clearwater.
Tell you what, they did not skip leg day, though, did they? That must have been...
Oh, no.
They must have been absolutely shredded down there by the time this was all done.
Did you say 30 pounds each foot?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. 30
pounds. Unbelievably heavy.
That's really heavy.
Committed to the cause, committed to the bank.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're getting the recognition, why not? Like you'd want to live this out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and every day he wakes up and his wife goes, Are your legs all right? I swear they're twice the size they were a couple of years ago.
So sadly, Al died in 1968. But he did leave these dinosaur tracks. And the secret to Tony, who only revealed it in 1988 in a local article. So that's when the Clearwater Monster was officially originally revealed to the public. But my question is, firstly, was it worth it? And secondly, should he have actually revealed it to the public, or should he have kept it private?
Ooh.
Those are my couple of questions.
Well, put yourself in this position. What would you do? Because I love the idea of a mystery lasting like forever. I think that's something. I don't know. It's less exciting that we know the truth. I think. It would be more of an exciting discussion if we genuinely did not know what had happened here right now. I don't think I would want to tell people. I'd do it for like 15 years and then just stop. And then everyone would always wonder. They'd think it was a hoax, but they would always wonder.
Yeah. I mean, Jack the Ripper had the same kind of MO, didn't he? Except he realized if he told everyone, it'd be a bit of a cell phone. So
kill himself. And then run away.
Leave the mystery, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it would be nice if he handed it
for everyone. Everyone to live by.
What would be nice is if he handed it down to a younger generation.
Oh, yes.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
That would be. Oh, I can see. But it wouldn't last beyond the second generation, would it? You get to the grandchild and it's just like, what I'm about to tell you, my dad told me 20 years ago before he died. Was it?
Is that the man in this picture with the tree trunk legs?
I guess the other thing is now, those guys who supposedly saw something in a boat, which they could have thought was a penguin. It could have been from a distance. Nowadays, they're just zoomed in on a smartphone and be like, oh, it's a bloke wearing giant leaden.
Yeah, that's true.
Or looks like flippers.
Yeah.
Or like,
so it might be more difficult.
Yeah.
Could have been, I don't know what marine wildlife is local to the area, but maybe a killer whale or something.
Well, it's Florida, right? So crocodiles, alligators. Could you get one that big? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could it just be some type of whale or dolphin? that they mistook it for?
Perhaps. Yeah, possible. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Caroline Clark in the comments kind of says, I think what was our initial reaction when Martin said it, which was, if a hoax, 10 years is playing the long game. Absolutely. Like that is commitment. And it's like Alex says, it's kind of disappointing that he wasn't fully committed to keeping it secret his entire life. Although I'm impressed, given this is not something I've heard of before, Martin, I'm assuming that everybody accepts it was a hoax. Otherwise, we'd be talking about it more often.
Yes.
Which is interesting, because I feel like if that happened today, there would be loads of skepticism and loads of people would say, ah, he's pretending it's a hoax because he wants the attention. You know, or he's a secret government agent. You know, he's being paid by the CIA to claim it's a hoax. But no, everyone's like,
him down.
Yeah.
I think that with the reveal, I mean, he did whip out the old big old leaden flippers from under the desk.
But can he prove that those are from 1948? Can he prove it?
They might have taken his word for it.
He's just a copycat.
Why would you make these? Why would you make these to reveal that you're that? Yeah. I believe that that his admission is valid.
What were the size of his legs, Martin? Did we see?
Oh, absolutely. He's 85, so no. He's 85 now, sorry. So he's pretty old and his legs are pretty skinny. But in the original photos, unfortunately, he sat down in the first one. Well, actually, there is a picture of him standing up in the flippers. In the what? Not flippers, in the...
Yes, whatever you call them. The feet, the fake...
I think the tracks.
Tracks, right. Okay.
Yeah. But he just looks like a normal bloke, unfortunately. Mm. He doesn't look small. He looks like a fairly strong bloke, but he's not like Popeye.
I imagine even in 1988, he was probably a bit too old to be able to walk in those things quite easily.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But Ivar Sanderson, the man, in fact, I was going to say cryptozoologist, but isn't he the man who invented the name, the term cryptozoology?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. So the original, the OG cryptozoologist investigated this. Didn't he die in the early 70s? I would say 73 or something like that.
Right. So a few years after he'd finally released that book. So he never got to officially know.
Yeah. He never knew the explanation. Yes. That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Although, in a way, he went to his grave with a full, strong belief in the cryptozoology that he pioneered. True. Yeah.
Angelos 87 in the comments says, less exciting but fulfilling. And I do also agree, it's nice to have the whole story as well.
Exactly. I'm just going to drop you guys over a picture of him now, which hopefully we can get up on screen, perhaps over the next few minutes, so people can see what he looked like in his older age, wearing these giant lead flippers, which I imagine probably aren't too good for the body, being made of lead and close to your skin.
Let's see if we can pop him up. There we go.
Let's see if we can.
Oh, it's a small image. I'll make it a bit bigger.
It is small and I guess fairly old image. But there it is, and there are the giant attached to some gym shoes.
That looks Photoshopped to me. That's he's definitely that's not real.
That is clever though. I'll give him that. That's clever because they have to make that. They made a mold and then they poured hot lead into it. It was lead, isn't it? Right,
Martin? Yes,
hot lead into that. Presumably overnight, when no one was looking. That's clever.
The blacksmith will have known. They went to a blacksmith to do it.
That's true. Yeah.
So he's in on the secret.
Well, do we know what happened to the blacksmith, Martin? The blacksmith died mysteriously.
Yeah, washed out to sea.
With penguin bite marks in his flesh.
Yeah, what? Very strange.
Think at this point, maybe the blacksmith was just happy for work. You know, there wasn't a lot of to do for in his line of work up till now. He was like, "Listen, mate, I don't care what you're using these for. Just as long as you're paying me, I would. Do you need a spare pair? Because I've got the next 6 months free."
I'm guessing all the local residents in Clearwater near Tampa Bay and in Florida this all seems par for the course. So of course.
The original Florida man.
Yeah.
Yeah. A mad guy walking around with lead feet.
Yeah. When he came out in 1988 and exposed it, everyone was like, Tony, we knew Tony.
we know you hang around with Al, who's a nut, blows stuff up and put a horse in a jail cell. Of course you did this. Yeah. No, but commitment to the cause, fair play. I think there should be more pranks like this, good-natured pranks that aren't taking advantage of people or claiming it's a social experiment when actually it's something a bit nefarious. So well done to you, Tony. All credit to you. Well done, Alan, Tony.
Well, yeah, you're right, actually. It's nice. They didn't try to monetize it in any way. They didn't make media appearances and try to pretend to be the original witnesses who saw it marching along the beach and attacking a friend or something. They just kept quiet and saw how far they could take it.
Exactly.
Think about the quiet enjoyment they would have had doing this. And then a researcher comes and investigates and concludes that it's a 15-foot penguin. Think about how funny that must have been to them in their heads.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
We've just been walking up and down this beach, and now a researcher has come and written a 50-page document on it and concluded that it's a massive penguin. They must have been living life.
The houses, I imagine they've kept all the newspaper cuttings and records.
Oh, yeah, must have.
You've got to. It must be so good. It must be so fun.
I mean, it must be interesting, though, when that happens, when it gets to that level, and you've got so apparent experts coming in to study it, because then you're like, huh, so that's what a 15-foot penguin's footprints would look like. I never knew.
That's very true. That's a good point, actually. That's a really good point.
Didn't know that's what I was making.
Super. So let us know what you think of the Clearwater Monster in the comments section, and let us know which other mysterious creatures, or maybe not so mysterious in this case, but if there are any other cryptids or anything else in the older cryptid line of work, then do let us know. Cryptozoology, that's the word. And perhaps we'll feature those in upcoming weeks too.
Before we move on, Martin, we should also say, because it's Halloween this week, this Sunday, we were going to hopefully...
It's Monday? Sunday.
I think it's Sunday. Monday. Oh, no, it's Monday.
It's next Monday. Monday. Yeah.
But I think we may doing one on a podcast a day earlier on Sunday.
Yeah, so for Halloween, we were planning to do a normal live stream podcast at the usual time, 9 p.m. in Britain, but we're going to do it on Sunday, the 30th, instead, because we don't want to interfere with everyone's Halloween parties, but we want to have a Halloween party of our own, so we'll be doing a Halloween special. And just like last year, we would love it if you would send in your ghost stories, your supernatural experiences of any kind. Please send them in either in the comment section on the YouTube video, or you can reach us at JInterestingYT on Twitter.
Yep. And if you'd like to remain anonymous, then that's also fine. If you're a bit embarrassed about your story, Phil,
we'll do a direct message if you'd rather keep it private. Yeah.
Yep.
Or via email.
Or via
if you'd like, which is justinterestingyt@gmail.com.
That is very incorrect. Isn't it
contact justinteresting@gmail.com? It's on. If you're unsure, go to our YouTube channel or perhaps to our Twitter page and our emails.
Couldn't have been more wrong. Just whatever was said before. Go for that. Write it back. Yeah,
and if I may be a bit shameless for a moment, if anyone's interested in hearing some ghost stories written by Charles Dickens, I decided to record some and put them up on the YouTube channel, Robin Reads. You can find a link to it from the homepage of the Just Interesting channel. And one's up already for Halloween week, and I'll be uploading a couple more over the course of the next week or so.
Martin, did you know about this? Did you know Robin was going to plug Robin a second Reed. Channel? I didn't know who.
I don't know how I feel about
this,
Martin.
Is this allowed?
Is this legal?
I think I feel comfortable with this, Robin.
I'm going to confess. I think I broke the bro code. Sorry, guys. I didn't ask you. Ooh. It may be because just before as we sat down, just before this live stream, I walked out all the videos. There's one video on there. I walked out to get myself a cup of tea and a glass of whiskey whilst these two talked. And then I forgot to tell them. Whoops. Anyway, please send in your ghost stories. Please
I'll
send in your ghost
on this one time.
Oh, that looks, it looks good. Go and subscribe now, because that is a bit of, you know, they say our podcast, you know, is something to listen to and relax to in bed. I imagine that Robin Reads an hour and 8 minutes of Charles Dickens is probably quite a good bedtime story. Ooh. Got to be honest.
It will probably send you to sleep. Thank you, Martin. Yes, it will.
I didn't want to say that. I was like, that's definitely an insult. It wasn't meant to be.
No, it's like some calming ASMR stuff. That's big. That's huge. Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. That's very kind. Nice one. Well, with that said and done, shall we move on to this week's quiz?
Ooh,
yeah, let's do it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, gentlemen, as always, I've got 10 questions for you and for everyone at home as well. If you are playing at home, do you keep track of your scores? I'll try to do my best to, you know, add them up as I go, but obviously some mistakes will be made. So do keep track of your own scores too. And I guess here we go. What's the totals for us?
It is, you're on 2 wins, Martin. Right. Robin is on 2 wins. And I am on 0 wins, which I'm not particularly proud of.
I've got to let you win then.
Oh, here we go. The psychological games begin.
Do you know what? Robin acts really nice in the quizzes, but he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
I hate this because I can't, whatever I say, I'll confirm your accusation. I can't be nice and I can't be not nice because
I'd love for you to not
prove
be nice.
You correct.
I want you to say,
well, I'm glad you think I'm nice.
Demolish you, you pathetic one.
You started it, Robin, with I have to let you win, which means that if you win, then you win. And if you lose, you let him win. So
classic Boris Johnson maneuver.
It is. It's a good old BJ maneuver.
I do like a good BJ maneuver.
Beautiful, beautiful. Right. Have you got your buzzers ready, guys? Alex, what have you got this week?
Well,
classic?
Well, look, I'm getting desperate, so I've gone classic here.
French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Beautiful.
You know, I have a genuine theory about this. I actually think Alex does win more when he has the Awesome Wells buzzer. So I'm going to have to do a statistical analysis of past quizzes to see which buzzer Alex has the most success with. I suspect it is Awesome Wells.
I feel like if anyone is interested in data collection and has a lot of free time on their hands, that would be an interesting thing to go back and see. Yeah, all the times that we used the Awesome Wells buzzer, if it actually has a performance boosting. Awesome Wells.
Yeah, because actually Alex has used it. Because Martin, you've used it quite a few times as well. Actually, I wonder if you've had more success.
Couple of times. I don't know. I think you get a bit of a cadence for it, don't you? Understand how? I don't know. I'm not sure what the most successful one would be. I don't even think there's a few that I've used in the past where there's a definite delay at the beginning. I've been like,
yeah, you've suffered from that. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. So it is important to get your buzzer right. Do you remember when we used to use manual buzzers? Do you remember that?
Yes, like actual buttons on the desk.
Actual buttons. That was kind of fun.
They were good until one of them broke, I think, and then they got awkward.
They ended up hitting too hard.
There have been many podcasts that we did with the actual buttons, right? Because I remember we moved on from that pretty swiftly, didn't we?
In the early days, you had a few, I think, Well, as it happens, in the comments, Microtech5871, who's only just joined us, I believe. Thank you for joining the quiz.
We did mention one of your comments in the comment section part, Microtech.
Yeah.
So write it back.
But they've just literally commented, Robin's buzzer with Alex calling out to Dick Turpin is the luckiest, which is a weird coincidence because guess what I've chosen today?
Oh. Yes.
Is there anyone here that wants to make contact? If anyone is in these woods, show yourselves.
I hope you can hear that.
Wonderful.
What I love about that buzzer is you keep it going throughout the whole of that clip. So I just keep consistently saying more and more things as the quiz goes on.
I love this buzzer so much. It's the best. And I admit, sometimes I've forgotten it's actually you, Alex. I'm just playing the buzzer.
Yeah, thinking, it's just the buzzer.
And then it's Alex.
Excellent.
We need to find some. We definitely need to find some more sound bites from when, because there are.
Oh, we must have loads by now. Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be some outrageous ones from just keeping the mic on when we've been recording.
Oh, man.
Anyway. Yeah.
Maybe there'll be some more as well. Who knows?
Yeah, well, perhaps. Okay, right. Question number one.
Oh, quick question, Martin. Sorry to interrupt again.
Oh,
are people in the comments, are they taking part in this one?
No.
Okay, fine.
Of course they are. I did say, if you want to take part, you can do, but you'll keep track of your own score. I'll try to keep track of it, but, you know.
It's normally the first three
difficult.
People. We give
first three people, of course, we give 1 point to.
Okay.
Right. Question number one. Finally, how long has it been since the quiz tune went and us getting on with it?
We had an interesting discussion about buzzers, Martin.
Sorry, I think I derailed that one. Yeah.
Question number one.
Okay.
What do all the numbers on two dice add up to?
Oh, shoot.
The French.
That
Alex.
Would be.
Three. Two.
30?
Okay, Robin? 5. 4.
Did anyone die here?
21?
They're both a little way off, so I'll give you guys another guess.
Or is the numbers on the dice?
Numbers on two dice.
Oh, two dice. Right. Sorry.
That would be 42.
Damn it.
It is 42. Unlucky Robin.
I didn't listen to the question.
Well done. 1-0 to Alex.
Thank you very much. Did anyone in the comments get that one right?
Good question. 44, 12, 14, 44, 42. So Sam Wilson was the first with 42.
Spot on.
Sam Wilson.
Then Kuz 90. And then Hey Now Pauly.
Hey Now Pauly.
So, well, on to you guys. One point.
Oh, Hey Now Paulie's had some brilliant dark jokes, by the way, as we've been podcasting. I just wanted to shout out to Hey Now Paulie. Sorry we didn't read them out. They were good ones. So thank you.
That's going to be absolutely meaningless to anyone who listens to this later. You've got to give them one. Go on. What's some of the dark jokes that...
I'm going to have to scroll back now. What's going on?
And we'll keep doing the quiz. How about that?
I was going to say there were some absolute panic guesses in the comments for sure. People were just like, oh, I need to get in there quick. And just Jonah Isaac said 12. So
I can see where they're coming from, though, because 6 is the highest number. So it's double that, right?
Yeah. I think they definitely 20, did
23 is an interesting guess.
23.
An odd number.
Hey Now Paulie commented in response, by the way, when you put the picture up of Tony with the feet on. Hey Now Paulie said, the Mafia have been making those shoes for years.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Which I thought that was a good one. That was good. Very fast. So, yeah, sorry about that.
I saw someone else comment actually with that, saying that is one mistimed tide time away from a tragic story. Like if you mistimed the tide there, that could have gone.
Like those BuzzFeed articles, the last picture of this person before they died. You know? Exactly.
Do you want the good news or the bad news? The good news is we've discovered who the monster is. The bad news is he's dead. It's not a 15-foot penguin. No. Right, question number two.
Okay.
Who is the oldest living James Bond actor?
Is Dick Turpin here? French. Is Dick Turpin in the
movie? I heard Dick's tiny bit before.
Yeah, a little bit of Dick. I believe that would be George Lazenby.
Oh, yes, it is.
I wouldn't have guessed that, to be honest. I forgot George Lazenby was still alive.
He existed.
Yeah.
Although he existed. I was going to guess Timothy Dalton, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember George Lazenby's also alive.
George Lazenby's 83.
Yeah.
Timothy Dalton, 76, I think.
Also, can I just say...
Spring chicken by comparison.
How dare you put in a James Bond question? This is an age topics question. That can be vetoed, okay?
Oh, you could work that out, Alex. Sure.
Don't you worry. Some veto thing. We can't have rugby questions. We can't have James Bond questions. And we can't have Fast and Furious questions for all three of the same reason.
Just you wait for question number 7. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Just you wait for question number 7. Embarrassing when I fail at question.
Lazenby was in the news the other week. He made headlines, didn't he, for saying some outrageously offensive stuff. And he got kicked out of his job or whatever it was. Anyway.
Yeah. And then, then he kind of apologized, but didn't really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, classic Lazenby. yes. What struck me about this when I was looking at the different Bond actors was how old Pierce Brosnan is.
He's 70, isn't he now?
69. Whoa. But 69 years old. That's crazy.
Yeah. He was 41, I think, when they made GoldenEye. Which he was on the older end, but he didn't look it. But yeah, my brain hasn't. I've done that classic thing of like, I'm not as old as I actually am. And then because he's in the new Black Adam film, and then there was an interview with him, and they said he's 69, 70, or whatever it is. And my brain went, nah, it's only been 10 years since GoldenEye. Yeah. What are you talking about? No.
I know, it's mad. How is he 69 years old?
My gosh.
That really shocked me.
He still looks better than I do.
He looks great, to be fair. Yeah. Question number 3.
Oh, did anyone in the comments get that one?
Oh, no, of course they didn't. Oh. No. Roger Moore, no. Someone said the Australian one. I'll be a little bit. Hey Now Pauly, George Lazenby. Well done, Hey Now Pauly.
There you go.
Then Swifto said George Lazyberries. So, I mean, I'm going to give you a point for that. And then George Lazenby for Caroline Clark says George Lazenby too. So, well done for you.
Nice. Very nice.
Cool. Well done. Question number 3.
Okay.
What is the largest bird in the world?
The French champagne.
The French champagne.
The ostrich?
Good guess.
It is the ostrich. Yeah. Males can be up to 9 feet tall and weigh 250 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, nine feet.
Yeah, no, right.
Not quite 15 long, feet, long, though.
That's some Ray Harryhausen crap there. Yeah.
I love the I love the choice with that question though, Martin, given the topic. Because
yeah,
it could have been the Clearwater Monster. Could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could have been, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, okay, well done, Alex. That's 2-1. And did anyone get it? Sam Wilson. Ostrich.
Sam Wilson.
I think Ethan Walker, Falcon? Ostrich. Caroline Clark, ostrich. I sound a bit like Keir Starmer here when everyone goes, go on, Caroline Clark, ostrich. Ostrich. That's a bit of a niche reference. Sorry, anyone who doesn't
follow British
politics.
Doesn't watch it. Parliament questions every Wednesday.
Yeah. Yes. Cool. Question number 4, 2-1 to Alex.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, some climate protesters threw tomato soup, possibly Heinz, over a Van Gogh's painting, The Sunflowers at the National Gallery.
Oh, damn it.
Protesters in Germany threw mashed potato over a painting worth $110 million. Dollars. Yes.
I'm going to guess what painting it was or the artist. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I saw the news story, but I think it was Monet. Was it a Monet?
It was Monet, and I'm going to give you a point for that. And I was going to give a bonus point if anyone knew the name of the painting. But well done, you've got a point.
Yes. I don't know the name of
it. Show yourself!
Yes. I don't know the names of any Monet paintings, but didn't he do the Water Lilies one? Is that the name? Water Lilies?
I think it is, but it's not this one. No, it was one called Les Moules, which I've got the English in brackets, which is haystacks.
Oh, haystacks.
Yeah,
I know that one. Yeah, I've seen pictures of that.
Not anymore. It's just I've seen pictures of it covered in mash.
Was it protected like the Van Gogh one? Did it have a sheet of glass?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the same MO really. Throw something over the painting, then stick your hands to the wall badly.
It'd be interesting to see what people think of that actually. Comments.
Yeah.
I hope they're choosing the paintings because they're protected and not because I hope it's not just a coincidence, you know.
But they have, I think most of them are protected. The only issue being, I guess they're going for ones that are really, really famous and popular and worth a lot, because then they can say, well, they're worth nothing if there's no earth left. Because I think they're a climate protest group. They're called the Last Generation. I think that's what the translation is in English. I might be wrong. I think there's something about the Last Generation, I think, which is quite a doomsday name, but probably quite apt. Okay. Right. Who got that in the comments?
Everybody.
It was Monat.
That counts. Monet. It's a difficult one.
Monat.
To
spell. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's but Monat. That's a different name.
But there's Manet as well. And if you said Manet, that'd be wrong, right? So.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think spelling is quite interesting. Manet, but someone spelt it E-H, which is wrong anyway. It's, and then Monet was Microtech, Funky Monkey. And so I think that's it for the ones who got it in time, because there was a copy of Monat. So that's not great, really, is it?
So are we saying there's two artists that are actually called very similar? So spelling was quite important on this one. What was that?
There's Monet and Manet, isn't there?
Oh, okay. Right.
But I don't believe there's a Monat, unless I'm mistaken, and apologies if I am. But this was Monet.
Oh, and Dean Carpenter has been honest, and they've said, I didn't mean Monet, I got it wrong. So fair enough. Fair enough.
Fair play. That's honesty is what we like to hear. That's a point for you for that. Pomp for honesty. There we go. We're giving out one of those this week.
Does that apply to us as well? Because... be so honest, Martin.
I'm an incredibly honest person. Ah, well done. Okay, question number 5, and another news-related one. So Liz Truss became the shortest-serving PM in history after her recent resignation. But how long was she in office for?
If anyone is in these woods.
If anyone, I heard.
Yeah, I believe the official tally is 45 days.
Is it my guess?
Yes.
I think the official time when she leaves will be 49 days.
Well, we can go for either.
What?
Show yourselves.
For some reason, I had it down as 44
days. Did anyone die
days.
Here?
I was about to say 48, maybe, because it's 44 when she resigned, and then plus four since she...
I mean, she's still technically prime minister right now, isn't she?
Yeah.
So she resigned on Thursday, and it's now Monday, so that's 4 days. So
you can both have a point. There are a lot. I think there are different ways to skin this cat. So it probably isn't the best question.
Either way, Liz Truss just...
Yeah, let's just talk more about Liz Truss and her failures. So what people said in the comments. So people have said 40 was 45, and then 44, 44, 48, 44, 44, 45, 44, 44.
Well, no one said 49, so I feel like
if you got 44, 45, 48, or 49, you can have a point.
I definitely. Well, I mean, is it from the period where she resigned, or is it from how long is she actually going to be in office for totally? Because I feel like from tomorrow, it's technically 49 days. Because I remember seeing that it was seven weeks exactly.
Yeah. You know, good question. Is it until her resignation or not?
Well, Wikipedia says until in office from the 5th of September to the 24th of October, which is today.
Ooh, today.
So that would be 48 days. Yeah.
Well, that's going to get updated tomorrow, because they put it for today as Rishi's one.
Just take a point each. Let's move on to the next one.
Okay, fair enough.
Margaret Tech says, Martin is giving away points like Oprah giving away cars.
you can
all have points. I like it. Of course, me and Oprah are very similar in our outlook.
Yeah.
We both read books.
You look alike, actually, now I think about it.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Can you just do the secret, Martin, and will whatever you want? If you think about it hard enough, you just get it. Is that how that works?
That's it, yeah. Believe, achieve. What's the other one? It has to be three things, doesn't it, these things? Yeah. Believe it, achieve it. That's it. Done. That's Oprah for you. Question number six. Okay. In Breaking Bad. Have you seen Breaking Bad?
No.
I have, yeah.
What drug the characters Walter White and Jesse Pinkman making?
Is Dick Turpin here?
Alex just got it, I think.
I believe that is methamphetamine.
It is methamphetamine.
AKA crystal meth.
Yes. I would have accepted crystal meth. Robin, would you have got that?
Yeah, I would have said that.
Okay, yeah.
I knew that about it. I knew that and a bathtub. That's kind of what I know.
Yeah.
So I am the one who knocks?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know the context for that. I just know that.
So you...
It is, AB.
You will, at this point in life, Breaking Bad's been out for several years. This is a conscious decision not to watch Breaking Bad. What's caused that?
Just too many things to watch.
Yeah, but Breaking Bad is surely at, like...
I've seen the pilot. Yeah, I've seen the pilot, but I have a rule, which is I don't like starting to watch TV series whilst they're still on air, because they can either not finish their story, they can get cancelled before it's done, which is unsatisfying, or they can go on forever.
You know,
and you're 80 by the time it finishes.
You know, it's been finished for nearly a decade.
I know. So that meant that I was behind when everyone, you know, was all raving about it already, because I was waiting for it to be over. And then it was on HBO. And in this country at the time, HBO was not accessible to me. So then I just kind of never got around to it.
It's never been on HBO. It was on HBO. It was AMC. And then it moved
AMC.
To Netflix.
Netflix pretty quick.
One of those things. Yeah. Okay. I didn't have Netflix all the time. But also, I'm only just watching The Wire now. That's my new thing. Like, I'm only about 15 years too late for that. So, you know, come on, Alex.
In fact, I've never seen The Wire. So. I watched the first episode of The Wire, and it was heavy for me.
Yeah. Oh, it's good though. Oh, The Wire's not that heavy. Oh, The Wire is amazing. And then the pilot for Breaking Bad was amazing too. I'll give it that. Yeah.
I would even need to watch The Wire. Yeah. It's on the list.
100% recommend it.
Nice.
Greatest TV show ever.
Where can you watch it now? I mean, this isn't a plug. I'm just interested.
Well, I'm watching it on Now TV. Because that is an HBO show, so it'll be on HBO Max and whatever other.
I'll find a way.
$9.99.
Yeah. I don't know. Because now I'm confused. Because Warner Brothers Discovery is now a thing, And Discovery Plus is a streaming service, and apparently HBO Max is going to get phased out and subsumed into Discovery Plus, into some, okay, at the moment, unknown entity, apparently. So goodness knows when it will be available outside America, because it was supposed to be rolled out this year, but now it's not a thing anymore. So who knows?
Right.
That was your daily update on streaming services from the Just Interesting podcast.
Keep us posted though, Robin. I want to know. Yeah. Give us an update next week.
You can find all good CW shows there too. Yeah. There.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, in the comments, Microtech was first, Rec97 was second, and Major Saber Mech Beast was third. So,
well, wow. Done. What? I mean, Major Saber Mech Beast.
Yeah, Major Saber Mech Beast.
What a name.
A lot of people got this. A lot of people have seen Breaking Bad, I guess, right? But yes, meth, methamphetamine, blue meth. Yeah, of course, is specifically blue.
I knew that.
I genuinely,
here we go.
I envy your position though, Robin, as someone who has never seen Breaking Bad. Like, it's, wow. You should watch it.
Okay.
It's a clearly acclaimed Breaking Bad, yeah.
Nice. Okay, Alex, this is your question, okay? So,
oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
Okay. Question number 7.
Oh, no.
What is the best thing about being a woman, according to Shania Twain?
Is Dick Turpin in these woods? Show yourself.
Yes, Robin.
It's now and then you get to have a little fun.
No.
What? Isn't that the lyric?
This is when we see how many people have misheard lyrics over the years, right?
Isn't that what she says? You're the woman. It's now and then you get to have a little fun. I thought that's what she said.
Yeah.
What? No.
And also, what is this my question?
This is your question. Alex, Shania Twain's your favorite.
Because the answer is Alex, because now and then you get a little Alex.
That's not.
Wait a minute. What are the lyrics? What have I been singing all these years? What have you done, Martin? What have you done?
No, it's not. It's not a now and then you get to have a little fun.
You have a little fun.
There's a specific word that she uses. If you don't know it, I guess you won't get it.
No.
But that's it. Wait. The best thing about being is
what? What? Oh my God.
I don't know.
Which part?
No. I don't know, but okay. I do know that singing is so dangerously close to the original that it may get copyright striked on YouTube.
Yeah, maybe soon. It's just up there. Yeah, true. Okay, what is it?
For about a year, every couple of weeks, I said to my wife, so what in your opinion is the best thing about being a woman?
Yeah.
And she's answering, I go, no, it's the prerogative to have a little fun.
Oh, is that what she sings?
What?
Which, I mean, you wouldn't...
It's the prerogative to have a little
prerogative.
Fun. That's a lyric.
Who wrote that? She didn't write that, did she?
She doesn't sound like the kind of person who would say prerogative. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, maybe I'm doing a disservice. But anyway, some people.
Isn't that a Britney Spears song as well? Prerogative. Wasn't that a song?
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know.
That was a song by someone.
I thought you were talking about Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
No, not that.
Look at us. Look at us discussing these songs that we know nothing about.
Oh, my gosh. Have you been watching that Shania documentary on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
Gonna have to tune in.
So, who got it? It was "Have a Little Bit of Fun," said Alexander Spencer. Also on the same wavelength. "A Little Bit of Fun," said Spiffing. No, prerogative was Hey Now, Pauly was the first. Right. Question number 8. Let's move on.
I'm gonna drink some more whiskey.
What is the tallest cathedral in Europe?
Champagne.
I'm going to go for some cathedrals that I know. Is it Notre Dame?
No.
Oh, damn. Oh, then I'm out.
I don't know any others. Yeah. Tallest cathedral
in Europe.
In Europe. Oh, you know, I mean, is it a trick one? Is it actually in the UK?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
In which case, which one would it be? Because it used to be Lincoln Cathedral was once in medieval times the tallest cathedral in the world. Well, I mean, obviously, because there aren't many cathedrals outside Europe. But then it had a spire which got struck by lightning and burnt, and it never replaced it. And then it was beaten by...
And it's also on a massive hill, so does that count into it? Is it like the
I think that
the
may have,
height yeah, above depends. Sea level?
Yeah, that may have done it. What's trying to think of cathedrals? Is it they're going to have it, places with lots of cathedrals are going to be Catholic countries like France, Italy, Spain. Ooh, what's the name?
Boudica?
Not Boudica. The name of that cathedral, that really modern, the one in
Barcelona.
Yeah, it's the nuts. I can't remember the saint. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Can I say that? Can I guess that one?
I could have a guess. No, you can't. Yeah, if Alex knows that.
If Alex knows the name, he can go for it. I can't remember the name of the thing.
I mean, do I want? I've been there. It didn't seem like that it would be the tallest in Europe.
What's that?
Is it St. Peter's Basilica?
No.
That's a Rome, isn't it?
Not a cathedral.
Mm. I thought that was.
Oh, right. Okay.
I thought that's what it was called, but yeah, it could have been a different saint, something.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. St. Peter's Basilica is in Rome. I've been there. That's what I've got it confused with that, probably.
Yeah, maybe the one I'm thinking of is also a basilica in Spain. Maybe I'm confused.
I know that one is a basilica, I think. The really modern one.
I was thinking the really modern one, yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of, yeah. If that's a basilica, then it might not count as a cathedral.
Modern.
I don't know about you, Alex, but I think I might need a clue.
Yeah, okay. How about a clue?
Okay, what's the best way of doing this? It is closer to home.
Ah, the French champagne.
Can I have another guess? I feel like I've had three guesses, but we've just had a clue, so.
No, go for it.
Is it St. Paul's Cathedral?
It is not St. Paul's.
Oh.
Okay. So it's going to be one of the famous ones in the UK.
I've got a horribly sneaking suspicion that Martin's done.
Did anyone die here?
Martin's what?
No, I don't want to even say it. I don't want to give anything away.
I see. Yeah, okay, I know what you mean. Yeah. Is it Ely Cathedral?
No. I mean, that might have been a bit of a red herring, as in...
It's not that close to home.
geographically, it's closer than the other one you mentioned.
Right. Okay.
Previously.
Yeah.
Is Dick Turpin here?
I don't think this is the answer, but this is a cathedral in Europe that I know the name of. Mm-hmm. Lourdes Cathedral?
No.
Okay. Well, I made a guess.
I'm trying to think of other cathedrals now. Oh, gosh. And it's closer to home than Barcelona.
Then, yeah.
Oh.
And it's not Notre Dame, so I feel like I'm tapped out.
Where are there other famous cathedrals?
Other famous cathedrals in France? I'm sure there's one that everyone is screaming in the comments right now.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to have to pass, I think.
Okay. It was Cologne.
That's the tallest cathedral in the world.
Yes,
I wouldn't have guessed that. In fairness,
there's another one in Germany called Ulm Minster, but it's not technically a cathedral, and that one's like massive.
Forgive me, I didn't mean to Orson Welles you there.
So yeah, Cologne.
Okay.
And actually, it looks like lots of guesses, some good guesses as well.
Yeah.
But who got it? Sam Wilson, Cologne?
Sam Wilson has been on fire this quiz. Well done.
Very good. And then a little bit further down is MDKN says Cologne. So well done to you.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's the correct answer. Wow. Knowledge.
Very good. Very good. Awesome. Awesome Wells.
Awesome. Okay, what question are we on now?
We are on question number 9.
Oh,
so Robin, Alex has won. Alex has won it.
Alex has won. But there's time for pride. There's time for pride.
Actually, got a point on the board. This is good. I like it. Of course, Robin's just let me win, though, so it's fine. The victory's all because Robin's let
definitely.
Me win.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
Which he wanted to clarify at the start.
I'm going to say that before every quiz that I'm involved in now, just to save my pride.
It's a good idea. It's a fail-safe method of making sure that you can never lose, in fact.
Yeah, because whatever outcome is, you win.
You win, or you let someone else win.
The Batman Gambit, is that what they call it?
I have no idea.
Well.
Is that what it's called? You can't just say the Batman gun.
What does that mean? What they call it?
Well, you construct a plan in such a way that whatever happens, you win.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's okay. What Batman. Oh, okay.
Right. Fair enough. Apart from when his parents got killed. Didn't win then, did he? Right. Question number 9. Which city has the most McDonald's restaurants?
Oh.
Is Dick Turpin in these woods?
I'm going to say New York City.
New York. It is not New York.
Oh,
that was a pretty safe guess.
It's a good guess.
Yeah, it seemed like a
the French champagne.
I really don't know. London.
No, it's right country. Think further south.
In England.
What, England?
Of Robin,
further, right? No, sorry, right country of New York. You know, right country. Okay, right, yeah, okay. Think further right, south in the country. Yeah.
Sorry, because Alex said London and he said right country. I was like, what?
Yeah. Further south.
Further south. What's trying to think of my American geography now?
The French champagne.
Can I have another guess?
Yeah.
Miami.
Good guess, but it's not Miami.
Okay. I'm trying to remember the film The Founder, because didn't it start in one of the kind of Midwestern states? So would it be in its hometown? I can't remember where that film is set.
Show yourself!
Is Chicago South New York? Chicago?
Chicago, I think, is number 2 on the list, if I remember correctly. Well, it's a good guess, but we're talking further south.
Further south, okay.
When you say further south, is it like on the same geographical region, like as in a coastal thing, or is it just could be anywhere in the States, but it's south of New York City? You know what I mean?
It's anywhere in the States, but a more southerly state.
Right.
And I could give a clue that might get us there quicker if you'd like.
Yeah, let's go. I'm happy for that, but if you want, Robin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the whole supersize thing is quite prevalent in this state. And it's a city within that state.
Oh, that you're assuming a much better knowledge, Martin, of public health than I actually.
Okay. No, yeah. Okay. I'll give you another clue. Everything tends to be bigger in this state.
I just associate all of America with that. No offense to any Americans, but to me,
really?
That's just.
You don't know that phrase, everything's bigger in the name of the state. And then you need to find a city.
Is it Houston, Texas?
It is. It's Houston, Texas.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well done.
Nice.
Everything
Houston,
nice.
Texas has
Texas.
The most McDonald's.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's a good
slogan. That is a phrase.
My
yeah.
only thought there was Texas is a really big state, isn't it? So.
Yeah, but Texas is a big state.
Houston, big houses, big guns. Do they have big McDonald's? And a lot of them as well.
Apparently
they
so.
Do. They do. There are tons and tons of McDonald's. Yeah. 130 to be exact. 130 McDonald's. Chicago's second with 111. Huh. San Antonio, also in Texas, third with 73.
They must like McDonald's in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And they do. I wonder how many of those are like drive-through ones. Probably a lot.
That's a good point. I forget that drive-through is a thing. Yeah. I had a McDonald's McPlant burger the other day.
Any good?
No. Put me off.
Robin, can you...
Put me off McDonald's.
Can you start a food review channel? I would love this so much. Just giving like one-word reviews to things. Just, no.
Only if one of you is there to ask me.
Oh. I love it.
I won't be going to Houston to eat a veggie burger. Okay. Question number 2. Didn't even get that, actually. That's a good point. MDKN said Houston.
Houston.
I believe Houston. Is Houston. But then afterwards said Orlando, so I don't know whether that backtracks. I'll give it to you. Second, you know, we're giving away points today. And then when I said everything's bigger here, loads of people just went Texas, which is right.
Okay.
But Houston was Jerome, Zijp, and Microtech. 5871. Nice, so well done to you guys. Give yourself a point and a pat on the back. Okay, question number 10. What is the Italian name for the pasta which is shaped like a bow tie?
Ah, the French champagne.
Straight in there.
Now this one was a bit unfair, Martin, because you know where this is from.
This is actually about bow ties.
Farfalle. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm not going to go crazy on the pronunciation because I don't know. I believe that is correct.
Farfalle. Yeah.
Farfalle.
Which translates to butterfly, apparently, in Italian.
Oh.
It's also a line from Alan Partridge, which is how I know that.
It is a line from Alan Partridge.
Action man
bow ties. Very yes. good. Well, lots of people.
I've been trounced MDKM, today.
Mac Ginveret, Farfalle, and Dean Carpenter were the first three. Commiserations to others who said Farfalle but were too late.
Nice. Well,
Bottiolini.
I'm going to add
Bottiolini. I like that.
Alex is a big fan of pasta, actually. We should do a special quiz where it's just Martin and me asking Alex pasta-related questions. Followed up by some Fast and Furious questions. Fusilli and family, two themes of the quiz for Alex.
I do like pasta, yeah. Pasta is I mean, what's both of your favorite foods? And this, I guess this could go for the comments as well. But my favorite food on planet Earth is a really well-made pasta carbonara. I think they just, they perfected that. That's the perfect dish.
Yeah,
I'm glad they did perfect that Italian dish.
We did kind of talk about this briefly when we were away, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I believe I said tapas, which we were roundly criticised for by Alex, because he said, why would you want hit or miss small portions? Which I understand. I just think Spanish food.
Tapas, I get, like, it's... I do like tapas. I'm never going to say no to it, but I just think... I prefer a well-constructed full meal, but like lots of little bits that you've got to kind of construct yourself, you know.
I'm not making it myself, mate. You know, someone's doing it for me.
No, but you've got to choose the layout of the... You can get tapas wrong if you order wrong, you know.
Oh, yeah, but you can get it very right and then order more of it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's true, but...
Dean Carpenter has a good point. Tapas just means small plates. It does. But that's what I like. Small plates of different things, and I like the Spanish variety. Oh,
you're a food slut, Martin.
So you're a fan of... what about mezze? Because that's the Greek version, right?
Yeah. I like all that stuff.
Dim sum?
Yeah, go for it. Give me some dim sum. What else? What else do you got?
I've run out of small dish-based cuisine.
Oh, I just want tapas now. I'm hungry. Oh. What about you, Robin? On the food side of things.
I've been thinking whilst you're talking, because I knew you'd ask me this question, and I'm struggling to think. Mushrooms, though, my favourite thing in the world. Mushrooms. My favourite food in the world. Obviously, my favourite thing in the world is my wife, but my favourite food in the world is mushrooms. So, things with mushrooms. I guess if I had to pick right now, it would be something like a mushroom Wellington.
Ooh, okay.
With the pastry and some chips, thick-cut chips on the side, some gravy and some greens. Yeah.
Oh, they can be quite divisive, though, mushrooms, can't they?
I wish I liked mushrooms.
They can. Some people hate them. Alex, you're not a mushroom fan.
I'm so sorry, yeah. I fully respect anyone who does. I've got nothing against you. As a person for your choice in liking mushrooms.
That's fine.
They're not for me.
Or, you know, it just reminded me of, went to Austria for my honeymoon years ago and discovered chanterelles. Mm. Best mushroom in the world.
Nice.
Fantastic. We went there in the right season. So beautiful, beautiful soups and sauces and everything. Oh, man. I'm going to go back to Austria now. Right now.
I'm going to go back now.
Just for the mushrooms.
Just for the mushrooms, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
So thank you.
Too dodgy to go and pick, I think. Without a lot of experience. Yeah. Shan't be doing that anytime soon. Anyway, question number 10.
Oh.
Sorry, 11.
Oh, we're on the bonus question. Yeah. Yeah, Alex has won round. Alex, I don't know what I'm saying. Alex has won
the one and only round.
Completely. That's the word I'm looking for.
Quite decisively.
Yeah.
Oh God, I just said divisively.
In this divisive competition.
Indeed, won decisively 7-2. Wow.
He did.
That's quite a trounce.
I needed a win on the board, to be honest. And I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry it was so much.
You've done it well.
I think my back is red from the thrashing you just gave me, Alex.
Indeed, indeed. Bonus question, gents. Well, right.
Let's have a bonus one.
Okay. How long is a marathon in meters? Oh, you didn't think it'd be that easy, did you?
No. I'm not even sure what the answer is now. Because I was going to...
Okay.
Well, I buzzed, so I will answer something. In meters. 26,503.
Ah, the French champagne.
Okay, so I'm going to guess 42,000 meters.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I've confused miles with kilometers. Is that what's going on here?
I don't know. I could have messed up as well. I think I probably
I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay. Robin, do you have any advance on 42,000?
No, Robin doesn't get
I said my guess.
What is guess?
Yeah.
What was your guess?
I said 26,000, 26,500. Yeah.
I thought you were umming and ahhing. Okay, good.
I mean, I was.
42,195 meters.
I was close.
Bloody smashed it.
Yeah. 195 meters off. Very good. Very good.
That was good. That's good. Do you know why?
Do I know why what?
Why
that's the distance.
Is it the... So, was it the distance between... It's like two Greek areas, Marathon and something else.
In Olympia.
No, that's what...
Was it the distance
that's the original.
Like,
messengers
had to run? Or is this... Oh, okay, this is different.
Yeah, no, so yeah, the original is from the distance between Marathon and Athens. That was the first marathon that was run. Okay. But the modern marathon's distance is based on the distance between London and Windsor.
The precise
distance down to the meter is to do with the fact that it used to be started from, there's a statue of Queen Victoria, I think, and it used to start up by the castle. And it was the same distance as the Greek marathon. But now the modern marathon is slightly shorter because it was too much faff to get people starting up at the top of the hill, and they just moved it to the bottom of the hill because it was easier to set up all the roads and things. So that's why it's an odd distance, and it's not the same as the Greek marathon. I believe that's the story.
That's a great fact.
That is a good fact.
Thank you. That's brilliant.
I should have saved it for next week, I learned.
Just say it again. It's fine. No one will remember.
Yeah, no one will know.
That'll be the last facts people listening to the podcast hear this week. And it'll be the first fact they hear next week.
It's like we never stop talking. We just kept going. Thanks, Martin. That was a great quiz.
That was a great quiz. Thank you, Martin.
And well done, Alex, for winning.
I've got two things to say quickly.
Oh.
The first one is well done to... Actually, not well done to Recu 97. I asked for it in meters, so 42 kilometers is incorrect.
Whoa, that's a lot.
No, it's right. It's the right answer, but I asked for it in meters.
Yeah.
Not kilometers.
Yeah, and a bunch of people are saying 4,200 meters. They're missing a zero there.
No. 42,000-ish. No, Recu, you got it right. 42 kilometers is correct. As did MDKN, as did Sam Wilson, and various other people. So well done to you all.
I think CS Drummerson should get a shout, shouldn't they? They got it to the meter.
Oh, yeah, to the meter. That's very good.
Oh, yeah.
42,000. Obviously, clearly a runner.
Oh, nice.
Well done. Well done. Very good. Monkey Monkey says, where do we post our scary stories again? So yes, you can post them to us on Twitter at JinterestingYT.
Go on, Martin.
Yes.
Say the
at JinterestingYT.
Yes. Yes. Contact Just Interesting. Well, hold on. Contact Just Interesting.
Yep.
gmail.com.
That's the one.
Excellent. That is correct. Yes. Or in the comments on the YouTube video if you're watching us on YouTube. Or if you're listening to us on the podcast platform of your choice, please do get in touch with us via the email.
It can be any paranormal experience you've ever had or anything weird that you'd like to share. And if you'd like to remain anonymous, then we will respect that as well. So it would just be great to hear your stories and to read some of them out next week. But yeah.
Absolutely.
Contact us interesting at gmail.com into the chat. That's good. Yes. Cool. And I guess before we go, we need to reveal what the riddle was.
Oh, yeah. What was the riddle again?
The riddle. So the riddle was, what falls but does not break, and what breaks but does not fall.
What falls but does not break? I genuinely am lost with this one.
Yeah, it's really interesting. This is, yeah.
Well, night falls but does not break, and day breaks but does not fall.
Oh, that's good. Okay. So
day and night.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Nice, yeah, that's very good. That is, yeah.
A lot of people went for the waves look of this one, which I get.
That makes sense.
Sea of waves, and it kind of works. Kind of works too.
The waves don't really fall, do they? So waves break, but yeah. I genuinely thought it might be wind, you know, a windfall and a windbreak.
But yeah, that's
doesn't
true.
Actually, it doesn't actually work. Yeah, when
wind
you think about it.
Quite a good guess.
Yes, I think Alexander Spencer actually got it. He was the only one, I think,
ooh,
who originally got it. So well done.
Well done.
Well done, Alexander Spencer. Yeah, smashed it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Martin. That was very interesting. And thank you for telling us the story of the Clearwater Monster and its real origins, let's say.
No trouble at all.
Really interesting stuff. Is there anything else
you
want
to
add?
I don't think so. Just join us over on Patreon if you want to for a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch this space over the upcoming weeks and months for maybe something a little bit more tasty. And then also submit your ghost stories. And of course, next week, join us at Sunday rather than Monday for the live podcast.
Are we going to dress up?
Oh, yeah, I didn't last time. I felt like a right chump.
I don't know what I'm going to dress as this time.
You both came along wearing your finery, and I was like, oh, we're dressing up, are we?
Alex was full blown.
I just got some face paint. Yeah. I'll try to do the same this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was like 2 minutes before it started. I was like, oh, great. I've been stitched up. It's like the opposite of when people get people to dress up in public as fancy dress. The opposite. You both dressed up, and I felt significantly underdressed. But not this year. This year is different.
You heard
I will
first.
Be in regalia. Yes.
Lovely.
My first Halloween experience. Anyway, thank you, gents. Thank you, everyone at home, for joining us on the live. Thank you, everyone, for watching on the podcast platform of your choice. Oh, do rate us as well. I don't think we've said that for about 5 years. Do rate us. Give us 5 stars if you want to. And say something nice, and we'll read it out. And and I guess we'll see you next time. Take care. So thanks for joining us. And bye-bye.
Bye for now.